Hey, and welcome to the Media Obscura podcast. We're a show dedicated to discussing retro or obscure movies and television. And on today's episode, we're talking about the 1996 movie Lawnmower Man 2 Beyond Cyberspace. I like to call it Wanna Cyber. Anyway, I'm your host, Nick, and I'm joined today by my faithful co-hosts, Mike and Raekwon, and Jackson.
Woo!
This is Jackson.
Oh, yeah. Hello.
Yo.
Yeah, that's so much enthusiasm just all around.
I am fundamentally unqualified to talk about film, but I will do my best.
Yeah, so we just got you in here because reasons.
Well, I was recruited against my will.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's like how most recruitment works, I think. Like,
true.
That's how I served this country in Afghanistan. Like a truck just came over and they were like, "You 21? And I'm like, "Nah." And they just threw me in.
This, yeah, it's perfect. You're good. Get in there.
Awesome. We hate 21-year-olds.
A podcast with my father.
Yeah, I was originally supposed to get my dad on the podcast instead of you, Jackson. And then he was just like, "Get the fuck out of my house."
Why are you still here? I thought we were free.
Don't you have an apartment?
Like, I'm non-union, so I come cheap.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, yeah, so today we're talking about Lawnmower Man 2. Mike and I did the first movie a year ago, and you two, Raekwon and Jackson, you guys haven't seen the first movie before. Oof. So before we even lead into this movie and talk about like what it's about and stuff, how confused were you? Like,
extremely.
Okay, good.
I think this movie confused. Was a lot more generous and more forgiving than the first one. Because the CGI in this second one was a lot better, I would say, than the first one. Because obviously you could see my background, guys. That was the CGI better? You see.
That was very genuinely the special effects in the first movie. It's just like it's PlayStation awful. 1 graphics.
I think better is a relative term here. Yeah. I appreciate that they tried. They were interesting. It was definitely like, it was definitely very, what do they call it? Cyberpunk, the genre of it. Yeah, that was very.
So
I even thought like, at one point I was just like, if there's a drinking game of this movie where any time the word cyber either comes to mind or is said on screen, you'd be dead very quickly.
Right. Or the word VR. Like they use, both of these movies used VR like a catch-all term for like impossible things where they're like, so really quick, the premise of the first movie was that Pierce Brosnan, before he became James Bond, basically abducted an intellectually disabled guy, plugged him into an Oculus Rift, and turned him into a super genius with PSI abilities.
Yes.
By plugging him into an Oculus. So, VR obviously doesn't do that. And then in this movie, VR is like straight up the Matrix, basically. Where, like, what do they call it? When they go into VR, they call it like jacking in, for God's sake.
And the joke, did you hear the joke?
The joke they said
they did in the Lawnmower Man 2? It's like jack in, jack off. What's the difference? I'm like,
I wrote that down in quotes. I was like, what does this even mean?
Lawnmower Man can't say that.
Lawnmower Man 2, the subtitle should have been mental masturbation or something.
They wanted to put that on a t-shirt, and then like Tipper Gore probably was like, I don't know, got Congress to step in, and they were like, you can't do that. I don't know.
It's nuts. The premise of this movie, though, is
after
that basically
Joe said that.
What'd he say?
That they can't. So it's like delayed for me. But after Job said that, I just wrote down, like, I didn't expect him to be this way. Like, I didn't think he was going to be, like, you know, this insane villain type character. I didn't get that vibe, even though he killed a bunch of people with his lawnmower.
That's what the first one was. It's just him going from a normal, nice guy who was beaten by the church and to going crazy with power and going into cyberspace.
As one, basically the first movie was like a metaphor for kids who grew up in like bad households, got really smart, and then became like homicidal maniacs, you know, as one does.
Of course.
See, this is why I did badly in high school. Right. I understood that becoming smart would make me a murderer. So, you know, you're welcome. You're welcome, society. Where's my fucking Medal of Honor?
It's in your heart, Nick.
Oh, That explains why I'm so iron deficient. All of the metal in my body is concentrated in my heart. I go through a metal detector and I'm like the Terminator.
From not being a murderer.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I go through a metal detector and I'm like the Terminator in that new one where I'm like, my whole body's a weapon and everything goes off.
Maybe it's the type of metal that doesn't go off.
Is that a thing?
There's metal that, like, I would think so. That
there are metals that metal detectors don't detect.
I mean, what does a metal detector do? How does it detect metal?
Why are you asking me?
That's a good question. It's for everyone.
Oh, yeah, let me get my fucking instruction manual for a metal detector, Mike. Like, what the fuck was that? I feel like if a metal detector didn't, like, capture every type of metal, it would be a metal detector asterisk. And then at the bottom of it, it would say, like, you know, minus copper or some shit.
Minus all metals.
Yeah.
Just a couple metal detectors.
This is actually a hair dryer. It doesn't detect metal at all.
What if the Terminator was just made out of plastic?
It's just me. Then it's not metal.
It could be metal-ish.
So, like, my thing is, does a metal detector realize it's made out of metal? Is there, like, some existential line of code in there that makes it, like, not realize this?
Me,
screaming about metal detectors and how they work, and then the silence is broken by a man saying, "Sir, this is a TGI Fridays."
The engineer that designed the metal detector had to pick between having it know it's made of metal. Like, okay, we can either have the metal detector not realize it's made out of metal, or we could have it realize this. But there's a catch. If it doesn't realize it's made out of metal, it's going to write a lot of weird memos about Hillary Clinton and Benghazi.
The things they've detected.
Just out of nowhere. It becomes sentient, and it just becomes a member of the GOP.
But Nick, Lawnmower Man 2.
Right, so we should actually talk about this piece of shit. This movie picks up 6 years after the first movie, and basically this company has discovered slash built a computer chip known as the Chiron chip.
Yes.
It's a supercomputer. It's basically just able to connect. It's the internet. Like, it's the fucking internet. That's what the chip is.
Virtual reality.
Yeah, it's the chip with virtual reality. And they decide to use the remains of Job, the lawnmower man from the first movie. They basically bring him back to life and they get him to finish building the Chiron chip. Because for some reason they go, oh yeah, this homicidal maniac isn't going to become a homicidal maniac, you know? That's fine.
No.
It's like, it's literally the equivalent of Hollywood making Terminator sequels after the last six of them haven't been good.
And then my problem is that you're telling me Peter doesn't remember how crazy Job was? He's like, when he first sees him, he's like, Job, I missed you. Yeah, you didn't kill a bunch of people. You didn't kill my stepdad.
Here's the weird. So in the first movie, Job and Peter, the kid in this movie, were like best friends. But yes. Peter came from like a broken home, was abused. Job, after he got like psychic abilities, murdered his stepfather who was abusing him in front of him. And Peter isn't like, holy crap. It's that homicidal psychic guy who suddenly isn't psychic anymore.
My God. Like, and he kills two other people too. So he lights the priest on virtual fire. I remember that.
Well, in the first movie, he also like is so jacked up on VR, which is a weird sentence to say, that he's able to make people disintegrate. He's able to like Thanos snap people out of existence because VR does that. And then in this movie, he just sits in a chair and acts like budget Jim Carrey.
I have no legs. But VR is my way.
VR is my legs now.
My legs.
It's like Back to the Future. Legs. Where we're going, we don't need legs.
And then he just like sits in the chair.
Just falls out of the chair.
I feel like it was the inspiration for the movie Up, where nobody walks anywhere. They just ride in the chairs everywhere in the futuristic spaceship.
Yeah. I think you're thinking of Wall-E.
That's not Up, that's Wall-E.
Oh, fuck, that's right.
Up is with the old guy with the balloon house.
Oh man.
Which he could have used like a motorized scooter that makes like Jetson sound effects when he moves around his house.
I got my late aughts Pixar mixed up. I can never show my face in the world again.
Yeah, we're gonna actually just censor your face now. We're gonna deepen your voice for your anonymity.
What is it, the dark web?
It's the behind the music special.
Guy over my voice, and that's all I need. Stonk.
Do you have a paper bag you could put over your face, or do we need a CGI budget for this?
I always have a paper bag ready.
Yeah, I don't have any face masks, guys. I've just been wearing paper bags over my face. That'd be okay. So, like, a bit of a dark joke, but can you imagine in like a coronavirus world not having a face mask, so you have to wear a ski mask everywhere?
God,
it'd be acceptable though.
Yeah. Like, but the weird thing is when you go to a bank, you can still tell them to put a money in the bag.
True.
You know. Anyway, yes. Yeah,
so clown thing all over again.
What clown thing?
Remember when people were dressing up as clowns and scaring the shit out of people
annoying.
I know. It brought me back. I had I like your background, Jackson.
Stonk.
It just brought me back to my like unreasonable fear of clowns that was caused by one of the Air Bud movies.
That was the best sentence I've ever heard.
Irrational fear of clowns because of Air Bud.
Thanks for bringing up that nightmare.
Right.
I forget which Pee Wee movie it was, but one of the Pee Wee movies made me afraid of clowns. Like, I think it was Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Is it the one with Large Marge?
Oh, God.
But one of those movies, like, really kind of turned me off of clowns. I was like, But yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that cut of Air Bud? Or maybe it was one that my friend made where he made a cut of Air Bud without Air Bud. So everybody is just reacting to nothing Air Bud does, but they're just looking at blank space.
That's pretty great.
One hell of an Air Bud.
Speaking of dogs, did you guys catch in this movie? You know how they had like that sidekick dog that just disappeared after the first scene he was in?
I think he's dead. I think he got run over.
I think
by
he
the,
just
the
died
train.
When Max Headroom or Job like drove a train into their house. But like,
his dog was talented. He could put a CD in the thing. That wasn't a fake paw or anything.
That wasn't exactly. Was so I loved good. That there was a scene of a dog putting a CD in a computer, but it clearly cuts to like a reacher grabber dog paw. Like they may as well have just taken a PNG of a dog's paw and just put it in the movie.
A 200 by 120 PNG.
Yeah, it's so pixelated.
It's really pixelated.
It looks like a full motion video from 1992. Like, God. Which is a good segue. So like we said, this movie's about Job trying to take over cyberspace. They call it cyberspace very exclusively in this movie.
Gotta be interesting.
Yeah, because that's like the buzzword from 1996. The first scene is genuinely the best part of the movie for me. I'm just saying it in advance.
How did Job, he put himself in, I remember at the end of the first one, he was trying to escape. He was in cyberspace, but he was locked into the building's cyberspace. He was trying to go out into the world.
Yeah.
And it ends with him getting access granted. And then you hear all the phones ringing across the world because that's what he said he would do when he gets out. Mm-hmm. Now, when the hell did he get back into his body?
Okay, so this is
body.
This is why the movie doesn't make sense and why this movie clearly was just like not a Lawnmower Man sequel that became one. Because like, yeah, the end of the first movie is Job loses his physical body. He gets onto the internet. And the movie ends with him calling every cell phone, every telephone in existence, while Pierce Brosnan's like, oh, shit.
We've failed.
As Pierce Brosnan does when he finds out he's a father. It's a Mamma Mia joke. We're going for gold.
Boom.
Yeah.
I'm more of a Mamma Mia 2 guy.
You're a Mamma Mia 2 guy. Guys, that's our hint. I want someone on Twitter to just tweet that Meryl Streep's going to be on the podcast now because we mentioned Mamma Mia.
She has to now.
Yeah. How else are we going to do every Meryl Streep movie?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
No, but like, so you're absolutely right. The movie ends with Job not having a body, and then this movie starts with them pulling Job's like burnt and destroyed corpse out of a building.
Isn't this just Star Wars Revenge of the Sith, but the end?
He had the high ground, yes.
Yes, exactly. And what's ironic about that is when Job wakes up, the first thing he asks is, how is Padme? Is she all right?
Yeah, no, I found that parallel to be eerie, honestly, when I saw it.
That spins a lawsuit. So I don't know if you guys noticed this, but Lawnmower Man is based off a Stephen King novel.
That's or right. Well, it's based off a short story by Stephen King. Yeah. About like, yeah, it's based off of a story. And like Stephen King, like, didn't like this movie because the first movie had nothing to do with it. This one has even less to do with it.
Well, for the first Lawnmower Man, he sued because he got his name taken away from it. He didn't want anything associated with that movie.
Gotcha. Yeah. I didn't remember this, but yeah, so like the second movie just is like even six more degrees away from the first movie because it opens like literally in the first 5 minutes, it contradicts the entire first movie's existence.
Yeah, at least they did a good job trying to cover up why there was a different actor playing Job. It was like, we had to cut off his legs and reconstruct his face. Cool. Now we know that not just it's not like George of the Jungle 2 and all of a sudden it's just a different actor.
I still think the best way any movie has ever handled recasting is Iron Man 2. Don Cheadle literally just walks up to Robert Downey Jr. and is like, oh yeah, it's me. I'm here. Just deal with it. Like, that's literally Don Cheadle's first line in Iron Man 2.
Wait, who played him in Iron Man 1?
Terrence Howard.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So like, he played him in Iron Man 1. He got recast and they just handled it so perfectly because the first joke is literally that it's Don Cheadle now. This movie, they just gave him facial reconstruction surgery. He went from like looking like budget Jeff Daniels to being budget Jim Carrey, a.k.a. the guy who played Max Headroom in the 80s.
And I will admit, he did a good job because you could see the Max Headroom. Like, they put him on TVs a lot to make so they knew they utilized what his talent was.
Well, what's so perfect about this, and this is when I get to spring on you guys what our next episode is.
Uh-oh.
The director of this movie, the writer-director of this movie, because it's an auteur film, believe it or not, is the guy who directed the American pilot for the Max Headroom TV show.
No way.
Yeah. So that's why this has like a very strong Max Headroom vibe. It's because it's literally the director of the pilot to that show. Headroom, for those who don't know, he was like this fake newscaster. He was the first CGI newscaster in the 80s, but it was a guy and it was a visual effect. Like, it was a real person.
It was good, though.
Yeah, it was awesome. And he became like the spokesperson for like New Coke. And he's just one of my favorite 80s fictional characters. Which brings me to next week. We're going to be doing the American pilot to Max Headroom.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, Mike and Raquan have that to look forward to. I'll be doing a lot of Max Headroom references in that one, I'm sure. But,
I expect nothing less.
Right. The movie begins. Basically, Job is brought back to life. He's told, yeah, you're like a super genius. So if you want a new pair of legs, you're going to help us build the cipher, the Chiron chip or whatever.
Yeah. I thought they would call it the Cairo chip because then he has something else called the Egypt, like that prevents them from doing something and using it for the wrong way. I'm like, come on, you missed an opportunity. Cool.
I thought it was like political commentary because Chiron's like that's the name of the program that does graphical interfacing for news. So I thought like, oh, it's the Chiron chip. It's supposed to revolutionize the way people interface with the world. It's commentary on the 24-hour news cycle, I think, maybe. I don't know.
It turned out it wasn't. Is somewhere.
Yeah.
That sounds very 90s, just like...
We
live in a society. Did you know that we live in a society?
You have to say it like you're George Costanza at the Chinese restaurant. You know, we live in a society!
Truly, like, I did get that sense from... the movie too, that it was this very kind of like and like I get that like it's hard to put yourself in that headspace in 1995 or whenever they wrote this.
Hey Jackson,
but it's just
for legal purposes you have to re-say that sentence but with the word headroom.
Thank you.
In it. Yeah, you have to put yourself in that headroom.
You have to put yourself in that headroom.
But, that's like when I go biking, I also call my helmet my headroom.
but it does feel very much like, what if the internet, but too many internet, I was just like, yeah, okay,
it's just the writer and director right. in like a college dorm with a bunch of kids half his age going, what if the internet was like, and hear me out here, what if the internet was bad?
Have you ever heard the Grateful Dead?
What if internet had porn? Whoa.
What if there was more to the internet than people fucking, guys? But yeah, this movie's entire premise is basically just like waving its finger at technology and going, it's bad.
Bad.
You know? To which I go, yes, but like nuance it a little bit, you know? And come on.
Did you notice who played Peter Nick?
No.
Who the played child Peter? Actor from Last Action Hero?
Was that him?
Yeah. This came out after Last Action Hero, so he's older than this.
Gotcha. From when I didn't recognize him. Yes. I just, every time I see a child actor, I think it's my buddy Greg, because he was a child actor in the 90s. So I like always want to text him and be like, were you in Lawnmower Man 2? Is Max Headroom a computer in real life too?
Did you ever meet him? How is he in real life?
How is he? Does he do the twitchy thing? Does he laugh like, ha, 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 ha?
You know? I heard he was an asshole.
I heard he was a dick.
He stole my cheese doodles. Because he's a child
he
actor.
He stole my wife.
Whoa. Some child actor.
It's Max parentheses steal your girl Headroom.
Oh, man.
But yeah, so this movie starts. I do want to just point out the opening credits to this movie of like them rebuilding Job. I might accidentally call him Max Headroom in this. Them rebuilding him agreeing to help. That is 7 minutes long.
They got to really explain what the hell happened to him.
Well, what's really great about it is it's 7 minutes long. One of the early credits in it says it's written and directed by the same person. And then it ends with a insert name here film. Which is like, I mean, I don't know if you guys haven't like maybe done like the kind of film classes where you have to add a credit sequence or you want to add a credit sequence. But like that is the sign of like a first time filmmaker when it's like written and directed by Nicholas. Edited by Nicholas. Starring Nicholas. A Nicholas film.
You gotta get that cred out there.
Produced
it's
by
Tommy
Wiseau
method.
Yeah. Catered by Wiseau Productions, parentheses, with great assistance from Nicholas. You know, I loved it because it literally made me stop the movie, look at how far into the movie it was, and go, oh my God, the credits accounted for 1/13 of this movie.
Oh my God. Like,
that's a little close to 10%, don't you think? I don't know. That's just me. The other thing worth noting about the beginning of this movie is they don't even address Pierce Brosnan not being in it.
They do? Wait, no. Don't they go to this? Oh, wait, no. I guess that's the guy they look for in that house, the guy that was wearing
that's
the Native American. Okay.
No, that's the guy from the opening sequence when there's like a court battle about the Chiron chip.
I thought Job sent him to look for a guy. Oh, wait. He looked for a guy that made the Chiron chip. But
yeah, but he's in the opening credits. There's like a court sequence, isn't there?
Yeah. He's like, no, I can't let them have the patent.
Is that from the other movie?
No, that was from this movie only.
There is nothing in this movie that's from the other movie.
Except like the stock footage at the beginning.
Yeah, except like, that very beginning.
For a movie that likes to pretend that the first Lawnmower Man didn't happen, they did use like the ending of the first movie. They essentially pulled like a Law and Order. They were like, previously on Law and Order.
And what's crazy is that for the first Lawnmower Man, their budget was $10 million and their box office was $32 million. So it did good. It made their money back and then some.
Did good. Like good. You know,
yeah.
Parentheses.
But this one, on the other hand, Lawnmower Man 2, their budget was $15 million and they made back $2.4 million on box office.
All right.
Horrible. Horrible.
It's almost like
Brosnan in it, it's dead.
It's almost like spending $15 million on budget Matrix was a bad idea.
It's also interesting to me because like it wasn't some like low rent company that made this movie. It was a New Line film.
Yeah.
And like 5 years later, they made Lord of the Rings. Like,
they made Rush Hour around the same time this movie came out.
Yeah. And also, I think P.T. Anderson.
Yeah.
90s movies were on New Line too.
Like, so New Line was, they had their shit together and then they made this movie and everything came crashing down.
They tried to run on the bandwagon of the first Lawnmower Man.
I don't even think so. I think they legitimately were just like, all right, fuck it. Yeah, let's make another Lawnmower Man. Sure.
CGI is becoming a big thing, and the virtual boy's out. You know, we gotta get that going.
That's a great attitude to have about making a movie.
That would be great if the Nintendo virtual boy is why this movie got made. You just imagine that conversation. Nintendo's putting out a virtual reality thing, guys. I think we go all in. All right.
Yeah.
Give them $15 million.
That's more than the budget they had for the first one. Doesn't matter.
How'd you arrive at $15 million?
Sequels always do better.
Oh, God.
Some 800-year-old man chomping on a cigar saying, the kids love sequels. They just...
They eat that shit with, up. Everyone knows Jurassic Park 2 is way better than the first one.
The only sequel I like that they came out is Back to the Future 2. That's the
Even Back to the Future 2 is like objectively a worse movie. Like, I love that movie, but it's objectively worse.
Indiana Jones 2, horrible because he got his
That's the one with the kid.
The kid, and he got his at the time wife to go in it because no acting experience at all, nothing like professional about it. Just because it was his wife and she went, you're in.
Admittedly, that's a very me move.
Oh, but she was so bad and I hate her in this.
That's actually why I haven't gotten married, because I'm pretty sure the second I get married, I would leave the church and be like, I'm going to cast you in a $1 million film. All right.
Nick, you don't have to, because when you make a $1 million film, you're going to cast me in it anyway.
You're right. You and Raekwon will be in it already as my wife.
I'll be aggrieved. I'll be some sort of aggrieved person, whether it be like someone driving a car that you slam into or someone who you shove on the street. The aggrieved man with one line. That'll be the best
cameo.
Get me my IMDb page, brother.
Dude, so like, I think Mike and I have had this joke before, but if I ever became a filmmaker, we basically agreed I would cast all of my buddies in it, but Mike would just be physically abused in each movie.
Yeah, like Sam Raimi does to Bruce Campbell.
No, guys, I could be doing a period piece set in the Renaissance, and Mike would somehow still be dangling out of a helicopter in the background of one scene. This makes no sense!
God,
just like dangling.
God.
And Mike's such a darling. He does his own effects. He does his own stunts. He does his own effects. No, By does his own effects, there's a slate of a green screen helicopter without the green screen effect on it, just being like moved through the background with him in it.
I got this, guys.
I could do this, guys. I went to Yale.
I went to Yale?
Apparently.
Cool.
So in this weird cyberspace future.
Yes.
For some reason, it became Blade Runner ever since the first movie ended. So, Jackson and Raekwon, you guys didn't know this, but Lawnmower Man took place in a real world at one point.
Yes.
It didn't look like Blade Runner.
So, I think Pierce Brosnan invented, like, basically the virtual reality, and then 6 years later, what happened with virtual reality. It got better, and that's what the dystopian future looks like. Or they show this dystopian New York, but just looks like normal New York in the 90s.
I resent that.
Would you not agree, though?
I didn't. Let's not bring the truth into this. The truth is not the facts.
Jackson knows too.
Yeah. It's true.
Jackson's like eerily silent. He's like, this is what my street looks like at night.
Yeah, no, some of the more chaotic parts, I was just like, yeah, that looks like Northern Boulevard on a normal weekday morning. Just
like the subway. The subway, when they're on the subway walking to their home. With the crazy people all over the place doing random things. Yeah, that's the New York subway.
I'll have you know that the New York subway, I had a good experience on the New York subway like a week or two before quarantine happened.
Okay.
Thera and I were on the subway and we were talking about James Bond movies because the new one was set to come out still.
Okay.
And somebody stopped us on the subway, and not only did he look like Timothy Dalton did in the 70s, he was a James Bond super fan who had a 15-minute conversation with me about James Bond and the different actors that have played him.
That's so much.
It was very pleasant. I genuinely was like, this is great. Oh my God.
This happened.
Will you adopt me? Like,
Shingles for sure.
Do you think you would have liked my James Bond joke, Nick?
I think he would have loved your James Bond. I don't remember your James Bond joke. Can you just tell? Admittedly, I was drunk when you told your James Bond joke. He did. Raekwon did stand up, and I was drunk, and I broke a glass at the comedy club Raekwon was doing his set, I think.
You laughed so hard, you just took a glass and went, that's so funny.
That's exactly how it happened. I had this glass of scotch in my hand, and I just threw it at the ground like I was at a Jewish wedding.
Oh, my God.
You're throwing it at me.
Thank you. Why would I? Oh, my God.
Well, now we got to hear the joke.
We have to hear the jokes, Raekwon. So,
I mean, I have blast ready. It's super long. I just said that he's like a. it's really long. Basically, just me roasting James Bond, how he's kind of a shitty spy because there's always some kind of chase sequence in the movies, which means that he always gets caught, like trying to spy on someone, and every single villain knows that he exists. Like, how are you a great spy if, like, you enter the villain's lair and they're like, oh, I was expecting you, James Bond. And like, what? Like, how? You're not supposed to know he's here.
Yeah.
How do they know you're...
He fucks the villain's girl all the time.
Oh, yeah. He always does. It's like a James Bond
every
trap.
Every single time.
How is he a good secret agent if everyone knows his name?
That's true.
Exactly.
Like, it's not the reason they keep replacing him.
It always opens with him in some exotic locale because I feel like the last four James Bond films have all been like Daniel Craig. He's like wounded and gritty and he's like, I'm walking away. I'm coming back.
Well, that's just because Daniel Craig hates being James Bond, so he keeps quitting.
I love that you get that essence in the films. Like, he just hates it and he's just like, he's in like Thailand with like just the best cameramen and the best visual effects people on planet Earth. And it's like he's ordering a beer in some like, you know, very remote place. And then like the villain's just next to him and the bar like, I've been expecting you. And it's like, you didn't get him like, well,
dude, I'm retired. Can you please let me just enjoy my Guinness?
It's also like
pension.
It's almost like MI6 also doesn't take James Bond that seriously because I think in Skyfall doesn't Q go, please don't destroy the car this time when he gets the astronaut. Like there are moments in these movies where like people at MI6 are like, you're going to destroy all of the equipment. You know what? New thing. James Bond doesn't get a fucking laser wristwatch. Because, you know, when has James Bond ever used that in self-defense? No, he uses it to cut, like, fucking cheese or heat up his fucking tea or something.
Duh, wouldn't you?
Neither here nor there, Mike. Like,
ow.
I'm just convinced they keep recasting James Bond because James Bond gets fired for being bad at his job.
I can't wait for the next one. Wait, who's better, James Bond or Austin Powers? Who's a better spy?
Wrong answer, Johnny English.
Which one? The younger Johnny English or the older Johnny English?
The younger one, the one from the first movie, because that's the only one I've seen.
Oh, because the second one, he does a chase scene. He does it so nonchalantly. He just walks across and does everything and then catches the guy. And it was really cool.
Oh, that's funny. I still need to watch those. Anyway, Lawnmower Man Dose.
Deuce. So, yes.
Yeah, New York has devolved into New York. And... For some reason, Peter is now homeless and he lives with what I can only imagine is like the Little Rascals, like just a bunch of like do-gooding homeless children. They live in the New York subway system. They go on adventures.
You guys hate Travis.
Which one was Travis?
The only black kid.
Oh, the token character. Remember, the token black Travis? Kid.
The brother of the girl that had the kid.
Yeah.
I didn't like any of these characters. Yeah. I was kind of hoping they would all die when Job goes ballistic and drives the MTA into their house.
Sacrifices himself for the team.
Yeah.
His only quote, I got a Travis quote written down because it was just so ridiculous. Because when, all right, I'm kind of like, was this when the doctor? Yeah, this is when the doctor is meeting the kids. And he's like, adults have betrayed me my whole life. You know that. What are you talking about? What happened to New York that, like, the kids are homeless now? It's always nighttime. Like, what's going
it's
on?
It's always night. That's
it's
true.
It's Fight Club, man. It's like, it's always raining. It's always
there's dark. A blonde kid, too, there. So that blonde kid is just kid-ass Brad Pitt going, we're a lost generation. Our Great Depression is our lives.
It's just so 90s. So 90s. It's just like, what if society turned on its most vulnerable? And what if it's like, it's just so like.
The only way it could get more 90s is if someone was humming Nirvana in the background.
Nirvana.
Yeah, no, it definitely, it has that aura in that too. Just like, yeah.
Yeah, it really does. And I just, it's so weird also because I really do wish these kids died. I said it.
All right.
You know, I'm just, I didn't like any of them. I didn't.
There was no importance to them.
The Media yeah. Obscura podcast says Nick Abu Hamid, I just wish the kids died. I really do.
I did. I do. That is it. I said it. No, why are you ruining me? You know I'm right.
Hey, legendness. Nick must be Lawnmower Man.
Yeah, I'm just Job now, guys. I'm gonna shave my head, sit in a chair, and just play video games all day.
Lord.
But it's also, it's worth mentioning that, like, the only reason the kids are in this movie is because Job, for some reason, needs Peter's help to get something called Egypt for the Chiron chip.
Bingo.
Right? That's like, isn't that like a line of code or some sort of fail safe on the thing that's like keeping him from doing his job?
Yeah, it's like it prevents people from using it the wrong way.
Okay, so why though? Because like Job, he works around it. Literally, like
apparently he got a lot dumber from the first one to the second one. That 6-year gap, something happened there.
Yeah,
maybe he ranks so many phones. He's like, I'm weak now. I can't do this.
Telemarketing does really wear one out, so.
God.
But no, it's just so weird to me because, okay, like actually saying it out loud, Job's plan is he needs Peter to get Egypt so that he can take over the world using the internet. That's dumb in itself. But he tells Peter that he's dying and that Egypt will save him, which is bullshit. And then he tries to get Egypt himself. And then he just says, fuck it, and builds around it. Like, what was the point?
And then, you know, the universe doesn't have to make sense to you, Nick.
They had
it doesn't.
12/13 of the movie that didn't get filled by credits. So they had
they literally had to pull like a shonen anime and just do filler for their movie.
And did you notice how Job got Peter to remember who he was since he looked different?
How did he do it? I don't remember.
He showed him the lawnmower, the murder weapon that killed his stepfather.
Oh yeah, shouldn't Peter have just like started having like PTSD that killed my dad?
Thank
you know?
God, but
oh my God,
Job, you crazy. What?
Also, Peter he's surprisingly well adjusted, given that his best friend was a sociopathic psychic who, you know, murdered people in front of him and shit. I guess living in, like, steampunk New York is just going to do that to you. I don't know. Yeah. It's just stupid to me.
It toughens you up, man.
It toughens you up, clearly. And then we got freaking the scientist in this movie. He lives in the middle of the desert somehow in New York. And what's up with him? He looks like freaking Braveheart suddenly.
I know, just Native American very fart.
Yeah, no, I like noted the hair in this movie. The hair is extremely impressive.
I mean, I've liked it. I'm working towards it because I can't get a haircut right now. Yeah, but
same,
like,
same.
Yeah. I love how Raekwon
that Daryl quote from The Office when he's like, sounds like something white people with dreads would do. Because he has like six dreads, but that's it.
Like, he does. He has like half dreads. Like,
because he had to do them himself.
Well, no, I can't tell if it was like a design choice from the set. Like, oh yeah, we're living in this cyberpunk world. Race doesn't exist anymore, but it does, definitely, because there's only one black guy in this movie. But like,
two.
Sorry. I gotta check my privilege. But
this,
like,
very woke.
Is the half dreads deliberate, or was the guy in the makeup chair just getting pissed at having full dreads put in every day? I'm just saying.
So he only has like a couple dreads and then a poofy mess on the top.
He's
what
like
was that?
Half dreads, half Riggs from Lethal Weapon.
Oh, so this guy's trying to be Riggs too. Cool.
Yeah.
Word. It's also worth mentioning in this movie, so like the VR in this is like weirdly advanced, because you can go into a VR world and you can actually, like, the way VR works in this isn't like it does in the real world. You basically become catatonic, and then you can see, smell, and feel things in VR. So it's the Matrix.
It's almost, they almost got it with what the heck is the Spielberg movie that came out with
Ready Player One?
Yeah, Ready Player One. That's pretty much the same way, but they're more, they're animated. They can move around, they could speak, and the game picks it up. So yeah, this Lawnmower Man and then Ready Player One, they could feel they can get a suit, they could feel it, smell, and their whole senses can be put up into that. So
I guess they got it from Lawnmower Man. But like, it's still stupid. I don't know. I also just like that did you guys catch what they call the VR goggles in this movie?
No.
I shit you not, they call them iPhones. So,
Ooh, a movie
about privacy concerns with devices called iPhones. That's
Jobs
pretty wild.
Paying attention while everyone else was sleeping.
Yeah. The reason this movie bombed is because Steve Jobs made it bomb.
And the first iPhone would not come out until 2007. So
came out 10 years later, guys. I'm just saying.
Keep your eyes open, everyone.
Stay woke.
Man.
Yeah.
They didn't call it an iPhone until the end, though, which was so dumb. Like,
but it's not even used for a phone.
I had to rewind it. I was like, did he just say that an iPhone?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it's iPhone, like EYE phone. But like, yeah, Mike, you're right. It's not a phone. At no point is it used like a telephone.
Hello.
It has more in common with Google Glass than it does an iPhone.
Yes, for Job. Only for Job.
Yeah. But that's because Job is like batshit crazy now. I don't know.
Now.
Not before. That's the other thing. I still can't believe that these guys looked at, like, they knew what Job did in the first movie and what he was capable of, and they were like, okay, yeah, this...
all's forgiven.
This guy seems like an all right fella, you know? It's kind of like the U.S. military or, like, the U.S. intelligence agencies in, like, the 80s, you know?
You
guys hate the Russians? Cool. What's your name? Osama bin Laden. That's a really easy name to forget. I'll never hear from you again. Gives them a bunch of guns.
Truly. Did you guys also think of Joe Bluth? Talk about people who get tons of second chances. I the second they said Joe, just like, I just think Joe Bluth. I don't really think of I just think of, I don't care for Joe. Like, you know. Like,
I love Arrested Development. Yeah, honestly,
he is. They do have similarities. I feel like
he would have been. Will Arnett would have actually been a really good Lawnmower Man.
Oh yeah, he would have been great.
He would have killed in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, also Jim Carrey would have. There were moments where Job in this movie is literally just the Riddler from Batman Forever, where he's just like, think about it, a crazy hyperactive comedian. Basically taking over the world by installing himself into everyone's living rooms.
It's kind of like the Sonic movie.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. It's also Sonic the Hedgehog, guys. Oh, Jesus.
This knows our future.
Well, you know.
Lawnmower Man was true. He's here right now.
He's in all of us, Mike.
He's in all our hearts.
Guys, we were the Lawnmower Man all along.
The real Lawnmower Man was the friends we made along the way.
What?
Everywhere you look.
Oh, no.
So There's a, so basically what happens in this movie is Job gets Peter to team up with the guy who created the Chiron chip originally to, I don't even know what it is. They go, they get him to go to him to, so that he can talk to the creator of the Chiron chip because he doesn't use technology anymore. He lives in the desert being,
because of what happened. And he and Job wants, because Job, what they're trying to use Job for, trying to build like a huge library storing all of like the, all the information in the universe and having it there and have people get, be able to get the information from it.
Yeah.
But then he, but Job's plan is to use that, hack it and, you know, control everything in the world, which apparently he didn't do in the first one.
Just remember, it's the 90s. Basically everyone is still using Net Zero and like Netscape Navigator.
Ooh.
And Job is the equivalent of like a fiber optic internet connection and Google Chrome. That's about it. So, yeah, he's trying to basically revolutionize the world, and by revolutionize the world, obviously do something batshit crazy, as one does.
Of course.
And everyone's trying to, like, one, they're trying to talk him out of it, two, they're trying to stop him because they know he's batshit crazy.
Like that worked in the first one.
Exactly. It's basically the first movie, only with Max Headroom now, and bald people. I will say that, like, it is kind of funny, though, because basically they try to talk Job out of it. Job freaks out, tries to kill them. And then they're like, okay, yeah, we should just unplug Job from the internet, guys. We should just, like, we should take away his internet privileges for a little bit, you know?
I just imagine it, like, from South Park, where the internet went down and then Kyle went to fix it. It's just a big, big router that he just unplugs and plugs back in. It's just big router they unplug from him.
Well, that's basically what happens, because Job eventually starts to throw a hissy fit and he starts like fucking with all the world's communication networks.
Again.
Yes, again. And everyone like riots break out in the street, and it's like literally what happened when people started entering lockdown, just panic buying, looting on the street, you know.
Which was happening anyway, just this was happening more.
It was just such a total third act of Ghostbusters where like everyone's freaking out.
Yeah. Yeah. But
it's so great because
the first time Job freaks out and hold on. It's so It's so delayed. But the first time that Job freaks out, Peter says, "What's wrong with him? He never acts this way. Like, I've never seen him do that." Like, yes, you have.
There's an entire movie dedicated to him freaking out.
Is this really a surprise to you, buddy? Like,
He was a murdering psychopath. What do you think happened?
That's like finding out a kid, like, killed his parents and then going, "He was such a nice kid. He used to shoot squirrels with homemade bow and arrows."
Like, and they would suffer.
Yeah. I remember I saw him dissecting a live frog once. He was such a nice kid.
He wouldn't kill them. He'd keep them alive.
I just feel like that belongs on like the like local news at the 6 o'clock news at night. And the lower third for that person is surprised housewife. Is just like, "He was such a nice kid. I heard him screaming expletives at his Xbox from three houses down all night. You just never would have expected him to go berserk with a knife."
He did have a favorite knife, though.
He did have a favorite knife. He named it after my husband, which makes it weird that he stabbed him with it.
Oof. I still have it.
I thought it was such a nice gesture.
I remember on Christmas, he gave us a bloody steak and said, "This isn't made of cow." And then he just walked away.
Must be pork.
We thought it was funny, but... oh, well, I guess we were wrong.
Boy.
What a sweet, what a strange lad.
So sweet to give us this food.
He really liked listening to Nine Inch Nails.
He's just finding himself. That's it.
Yeah. I remember the first time I met him, he walked out of a Hot Topic and called it weak ass weakling shit.
God, I'm logging off.
Jax is like, "All right, I'm out." Yeah, he's the SpongeBob meme. All right, I'm a head out.
So after they track down the guy who created the whole thing, and Job, they're using Job to... there's like two subplots kind of going on. Job is creating his little library while skeeving his way in there. And the Peter got the other guy, the hippie, and they go on their adventure. And then Job tries to kill him with a... another subway car he hacks into, and the creator and Job get a little fight going on the switch tracks, you know, trying to get the thing to go away.
Right. They like keep playing this. They keep switching the tracks that the subway car is on.
Was this just them trying to do the trolley experiment that they use in psychology?
Philosophy, but yes, it was just them doing the trolley experiment.
And you know what? It proves that the one life that he killed one guy in that train as opposed to the five others. So, you know, they did.
That's
true. I think they actually did try to do that.
This really goes to show that this was written by the director when he was hanging out with a bunch of undergrads. Like, he literally just spent a weekend. He discovered what pot was, and he's like, yo, I'm just going to use this paragraph from your textbook and write a scene for my movie from it. All right. And let's read this page. Let's read this paragraph. Table of contents.
What if the internet and death and society?
Whoa.
This reads like,
why didn't the doctor just wait until like the last minute to switch the track? I don't see why they had to keep flipping back and forth.
That's what I wondered.
It got to, like, you know, the very last moment.
Yeah. Like, they really could have just been like, all right, 3, 2, and switch. Also, why didn't Job expect him to do... Job is supposed to be, like, a super genius. You know? He is literally... Guys, Job is literally Professor Xavier from the X-Men. Like, he's stuck in a chair, he's bald, and he's really good at doing shit with his mind, but never seems to anymore.
He's in a wheelchair.
He's Professor Xavier. He's Patrick Stewart. Like...
Stewart.
I'm just saying. But what's also, so after they get out of the subway thing, they break into like the company that Job is working for behind the shadows. And there's this whole like sequence where they're like fighting people in here. They were trying to steal something that Job needed. And I just love, there was a moment they're fighting the guards, the main character, the hero, the like, I guess the hippie scientist, we'll call him.
Yes.
He keeps punching somebody in the face. And this one guy just doesn't go down. Literally, he punches him in the face for like 30 seconds. Nothing happens.
He must have been Ivan Drago.
Well, my only note there is that that's what it would look like if I got into a fight with you, Mike. Like, just a lot of face punching, a lot of screaming, and then you're just standing there and I'm like, ah, shit.
I must break you.
Yeah. Here we go again.
You suddenly
again.
Not again.
Nick's not like fifth attempt.
It cuts to like a closed door and I just get thrown through it.
It's like the Pink Panther when they keep trying to sneak up on him.
Yeah. It was so stupid because I feel like after punching someone in the face 3 times and they don't go down, you just cut your losses and run.
Like, they don't go after them like the second one, you should cut your losses.
Well, no, maybe the guy's a little durable, but like three, Mike. Third time's the charm. That's the saying. I feel like Mike's only saying this because...
In their face as hard as I can 2 times, it's over. Like, I lost.
That's why you need pocket sand.
I strongly believe in pocket sand at all times, guys. I actually want to start purchasing and holding pre-bagged handfuls of pocket sand.
Nick, why is there sand in your pocket?
Nick, why are you reaching into your pocket and eerily digging around for something?
Pocket sand!
Nothing, I'm just nervously masturbating while you back me into a corner. And pocket sand!
Mrs. Crap.
Oh, shit. Wait, nothing to see here, just pocket masturbating again.
Pocket sand for all.
Yeah.
She's like, moon sand. Just
get
fuses.
Really good at doing an Oprah impression, and you get pocket sand.
So,
I have the security guard described as bobblehead security guard.
Oh, I thought you were going to say in my notes, I had Nick would throw pocket sand at this moment.
So they get
and
the.
Here, Nick would throw pocket sand.
Yeah, this is how Nick would handle this.
So they get the Chiron chip by replacing it with an ice cube. But the laser's hot. So the ice cube melts really fast, which they didn't think that would happen when it started dripping and you hear, you know, come on.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So like there's a security system that uses heat and it's basically like, oh, yeah, if this thing isn't 0 degrees, it will like set off the alarm. So like you said, Mike, they put an ice cube there and I'm like, why didn't they get a bigger ice cube?
He just grabs it and holds it with his like this in his bare hand and it melts. I'm like, mine just
His body heat melted it.
Why not get the claw? It looked like it's like an ice cube for like drinks, like whiskey. So there has to be a little cube claw that you can grab it with.
Well, my thing is, first off, why didn't they get a bigger piece of ice, preferably shaped like a middle finger, so that when security runs in and sees the Chiron chip is missing, there's just a middle finger stuck there folding them off.
Melting.
Oh, man, I can't. Is that a fist? The middle of it seems to have been melted off already. Second, I want a deleted scene where they're getting the ice cube, because according to this movie, they brought this single ice cube to the facility, snuck around for like a half an hour without the ice cube melting, and then they put it there. I want a deleted scene where they're like at a hotel and they're going to get ice from the ice machine. You know?
Like 73 cents.
Yeah, yeah. Like the kid is walking with a bucket into the ice room and there's a guy in a bathrobe wearing no shoes and clearly naked under the robe going, "Yep, it's one of those nights. I'll be done getting the ice in a minute." And then he just like leaves the ice room and the kid's like, "That was fucking weird." And then he gets his ice and leaves.
Lo and behold, Nick, the ice cube melts. And the alarm goes off. And then, oh no, they're all getting attacked. But turns out the Chiron chip they got, that little pyramid, was a dupe. Was a doozy there. It was a fake. Oh, you think the creator would know what the Chiron chip looked like. But no. Yeah. Then the villain takes out the other Chiron chip, and it looks different. I could see the difference in the cube.
It physically looks different.
The pyramid, not a cube. Yes. Yeah.
Not the Tesseract, Mike.
It's not the Tesseract. No. No, it's not, sadly. It would have been cooler.
What I will say about first off, the note I wrote about that is, so you mean to tell me they had a very deceptive scheme that involved a pyramid, and they didn't refer to this like security program as a pyramid scheme at any point?
Because it didn't exist yet, Nick.
Yeah, like, well, yeah, they did. But, like, I just want the moment the scientist realizes he has a fake, you know, Chiron chip, he should have been like, "Damn it, we've been caught in a pyramid scheme." And then the CSI theme can start playing. You know,
then it's just the movie.
The movie just ends. The credits roll over pickup footage of L.A., well, the CSI theme plays.
So they hook up the Chiron chip. They get it.
This killed me.
But they launch it. Everyone's watching, like, "Ooh, yeah, cool." But then all of a sudden, Job turns on them, like, "Whoa, big surprise."
Yeah, that's right. So basically, Job, after they steal the fake Chiron chip and the real one's brought out, Job is just like, "Yep, cool. This is, we're about halfway through the second act, nearing the third act now. I'm going to start killing people. I'm getting bored." You know?
My trigger finger's itching.
Literally, his trigger finger starts itching because he just downs an airplane.
True.
Like, you remember, there's like a guy from the government there, and he's like, he can't get back to Washington, so he hijacks a plane and just like flies it into the ground and is laughing while he does it.
Apparently an airplane's on Wi-Fi.
Yeah, that's exactly, see guys, you don't understand, this is precipitating Bluetooth technology. He pulled out his iPhone, he synced it to the airplane, which was in the air hundreds of miles away from him. And then he just held the analog stick forward and watched the plane go down.
That's why they say no cell phone use during a plane ride. It's obvious.
I thought it was to stop you from changing the channel on the in-flight movie.
I wish.
Specifically. Which, guys, that's something Mike has actually done before. Not on an airplane.
In Applebee's.
Yeah. Mike and I have been at an Applebee's together with like a group of people. Sports was playing on like the TV near us. And Mike's like, "I don't like sports." Opened a Universal TV app on his phone and just changed the channel at the Applebee's.
And then I walked to the bathroom, changing all the TVs on the way. Everyone's like, "The fuck?"
Like, you could basically just imagine a cartoon animation of Mike walking through an Applebee's going, "You're watching cartoons. You're watching the news. You're watching Skinamax. You're watching more cartoons.
You're watching Property Brothers.
Property we'll Brothers, leave that one on. Playboy Channel, HBO, 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 HGTV, Food Whoa. Network.
Food Network, Guy Fieri.
Yeah.
But we have the thing going on. The plan's going down, so they're racing against the time, the clock, which is 12 hours. They got a generous amount of time to figure out what to do.
Oh, that's right, because
close.
He has to.
Yeah, they do.
Right, because he has to basically update himself to be integrated into the internet again
and upload like everything and like all the knowledge and all the jazz and
exactly and a lot like downloading a Call of Duty update in 2020. It takes Ooh. Fucking forever.
God, that's gonna be dated when it gets old.
That's commentary because the new, I kid you not, the new Call of Duty Modern Warfare to download the game, the updates for it, and the DLC that's required to play online. 200 gigabytes.
You're kidding.
People were complaining about that.
I'm not kidding. That is, I updated the game the other day, and it literally took me all day with my internet connection to update and download the game again.
Well, that's your problem, Nick, is you're playing Call of Duty in the first place.
That's true. That's on me. I should know better. But think about that. The newest update for that game.
Instead.
I could. Raekwon, don't. So. I actually am thinking about
again.
It. Yeah, you're pulling me back. Thera bought Mortal Kombat 11 for her Switch, and she's been playing it, but she hates it because it's for the Switch, and it doesn't look as good as the Xbox one. So yeah. Now she's trying to get me to buy it for the Xbox, specifically so she can play it. And I'm like, no, play it on your fucking Switch.
The Xbox one doesn't look as good as the one on PC, so PC always wins.
Gotta buy the PC one next, you know? And then when the PC doesn't look good enough, you just got to put on your claws and go outside and have real Mortal Kombat.
There you go.
Huh.
Good old fashioned wrestling.
Finish him, and it's just me trying to grab someone's heart on the street.
So
instead of they make it look so easy in the game.
So instead now of me and you, Nick, describing the movie, I want our guest.
Yes.
Describe what happens next.
Let's see how these guys can just make sense of parts of this movie.
Jackson.
Raekwon.
Damn it.
I can't describe this movie even if I tried.
Yeah, no, there were times admittedly when I spaced out and when I looked back at the screen, I was just like,
is that what you call nervously drinking?
Yeah, nervously drinking. That's one way to put it. And I'd look back and I'd just see what was going on and I'd be like, that is a thing that is currently occurring on the screen. And
I'll give you that.
You know, that is limited and I am afraid. So no, I don't know if I'll
I'll give you guys this fine. Because this one was so, I find this one so boring. The first one is so much more interesting. It keeps your attention the entire time.
Yeah. The first movie was like, actually a movie. This one reeks of like direct to video. Like, this is the movie you would rent when you go to Blockbuster 5 minutes before they close and you didn't have time to actually find something watchable.
Yeah
very specifically.
You just look at the Blockbuster movie covers and go, Lawnmower Man 2, that sounds great. Like, I feel like the perfect for this movie is like having it play via like a projector in the dark corner of a dive bar and nobody's paying attention to
it. Yeah, like so with the sound off.
Being screened, but the screening isn't like a thing that people are supposed to attend. It's just being played and it's in a dive bar and you're three drinks deep. And aside from your one friend who told you about this place, you don't know anyone there and that movie is just playing. I feel like that's the correct vibe with which to like, digest this movie.
That's kind of perfect because
it makes much more sense if you're paying attention to it.
I think we said the same thing about Turkish Star Wars. Like, you put this movie on when you're at a party and like the party has already devolved into drunken madness.
Yeah.
Like, this is the post orgy movie. Everyone's gotten laid, the endorphins are going. Let's watch Lawnmower Man 2 and contemplate existence, guys.
Have
romance.
Mike clearly hasn't been to an orgy before because he's like, what the fuck are you guys talking about?
Obviously, you guys had an orgy with each other because I wasn't invited.
Thanks. You know what? I remember deliberating if I should send you the e-vite to that. We thought you'd be a total killjoy and actually want to watch the movie.
We made a Facebook event out of it, didn't we, Nick?
We live streamed it on Twitch until we got banned, I think.
Now we're in. They were enjoying it.
Yeah. We actually got a Twitch partnership.
So, like speaking of drinks, the last time that I saw Jackson, I don't know if you remember, Nick, but you promised me a drink if I bowled a strike. And honestly, I thought about it today. I was like, Nick still owes me that drink. And I probably look really cool bowling that strike right after he said, you know, I'll buy you a drink if you get a strike right now. And I never got that drink.
Wow, I love that after a year, this is still being held over. There is literally a pandemic on. I could not buy you a drink if I wanted to. And you're still like, where's my fucking drink, man?
Just order a drink on Venmo. Like on Vine.
You promised
Vine
me chicken. Corona. The least you could do is cough in my fucking mouth.
Vito,
I mean...
outside of the Fairlawn Bolero until they
meet me outside the flagpole at the Fairlawn Bolero with my drink.
I demand to spend $13 on a common Coke that has 1 milliliter of rum and bottom shelf Coke that has been expired for free.
Yeah, that was mediocre. I don't know why I ordered a rum and Coke at a bowling alley, but now I know better.
Did you all do Fireball shots?
Yeah, we did shots like of Fireball. Beer. We played beer pong.
Oh, good that's... lord.
Yeah, it was fun. Oh. I do remember, Raekwon. I have the proof. I still have the picture of you bowling the strike, you know, and being like, yep, I owe him a drink now. Damn it'll happen.
Keep my big mouth shut.
Post quarantine, I'll buy everyone here a drink. No, well, not everyone, you know. I won't buy Mike a drink, but I'll drink one on behalf of him.
Well, I make my own drinks, Nick, so.
Yeah. Mike's the guy, you know how people sneak movies into a movie theater? Mike's the guy who sneaks like a bottle, like he sneaks a full barrel of hooch into a bowling alley. He acts really pregnant, guys. Like he puts the barrel under his shirt and he's like, yep, they're twins.
Over time, my pregnancy just goes thinner and thinner and thinner. I was like, where'd your pregnancy go? Oh,
no. No, it's in a barrel, Mike. It's not going to get thinner.
It's a certain kind of barrel. It's a special barrel.
By barrel, we mean a plastic bag. Yeah, sure.
So, if it's a barrel, then people just see us going to Mike to get alcohol out of his stomach.
Well, people see me drinking out of the bottom of the barrel, and it just looks like I'm giving him a BJ in the middle of a fucking bowling alley. All right, drink up, Nick. And everyone's just like, oh, this is happening. All right.
Drink up, boys.
Oh, he just had to bring the Reagan voice into it.
Oh, no. As long as you don't bring up Nixon, we're good.
We're going to tear down that wall, and we're going to do it on our knees.
We're going to make the rich, and then they'll trickle that down to
the Reaganomics.
The barrel stomach.
I feel it might be a good... Well, while we're talking about bowling alleys and like the weird shit we talk about at bowling alleys, Jackson, do you want to explain Republican Tuesdays?
Oh my God. Talk about dusting it off. Yeah. Wasn't it we were going to get like American polo sweaters or cardigans or some shit?
Yep, shorts.
Salmon shorts, boat shoes. And we go, weren't we going to try and go to like the Ridgewood Country Club and stuff?
Yeah, so we were going to try and go to an actual country club, like an actual golf course, an up-class, you know, upscale kind of place. And we were going to go in dressed like Reaganites,
yeah,
you know, dressed like Michael J. Fox's character from Family Matters. And is it Family Matters or Family Ties with Michael J. Fox? Which one's
Family
the one with
Ties.
Urkel?
I think Family Matters is Urkel and Family Ties is...
Matters is Urkel.
Okay, yeah. so we would go in dressed like Michael J. Fox from Family Ties. And we would talk about the economy, the GOP, and the stock market while playing 18 rounds of golf completely ironically, like around other people, and nobody would realize we were full of shit.
Just like, well, my stocks are doing great. You know, I've invested in so many Russian oil companies, and let me tell you, they are really doing well right now.
Yeah. And we would talk about like insider trading or some shit. Like, well, oh, we're God. Just.
I would see people listening, taking notes.
I would have been arrested, but my other brother's the police chief, so I just gave him some of my own, and then he told me the other day, he pulled up alongside me in the old cop car, and he said, "My stock portfolio has never looked better, buddy." And
this, then this is like a standby of like Jackson and I have known each other for like over 15 years, and this is like something we've basically done. Like, I remember we went to a water park. And we would go down like a turbulent ride at a water park and just do it completely straight face, not laughing. We would talk about our jobs. We would like golf clap when something exciting happened.
Yeah, no, we went down the cone slide, and one time we did it just completely straight faced, like we were just talking about like business and stuff. As we were like, I think the one time we did it straight, we went up so high that like we actually left the ground for a second, and it was like there was a moment of genuinely like, are we just gonna topple over? Like, are we just gonna wipe out? And we just had to maintain straight face.
My favorite one is at that same water park. There was a guy who was like trying to amp us up before going down this ride. He's like, "Are you guys excited? Are you guys ready?" And it was like you, me. I don't think you were with us, Mike. I think it was Thera, and I think it was someone else.
Yeah.
It might have been our other friend, Mike. And they were like, "Are you excited? Are you guys ready?" And Jackson and I were just like,
"Yep."
The guy's like, all right, have word.
I hate my job.
Fucking weird. The last time you were on this ride, you were screaming, and now you're acting catatonic.
I got paid $22 and 2 ounces of weed today for this.
That's a lot
did
of
you
money.
Guys give him the weed? Is that what you're telling me?
No. We did not pay a Mountain Creek employee in marijuana, Mike. Jesus. We paid him in party favors, which turned out to be marijuana, but like.
Oh, okay. So how does the ending of the movie happen, Nick?
So basically, Job assimilates into the internet, and then the hero is just like, yeah.
No, you're lying, Nick. Don't say that, because we don't want a Lawnmower Man 3. What happens is they have to destroy the Chiron chip in the virtual reality and remove it from the laser from the real world at the exact same time. And they cut this stuff real close because it counts down to 5, 4, and they're having a sword fight too. There's a sword like a Princess Bride sword fight going on over here. So
all I remember is
the like
red out of dollar store sword.
Yeah, they're dollar store swords, and the Lawnmower Man looks like he's wrapped in gold tinfoil.
Yes, and bald. And so, what happens is the Six Dreads dude. What do we call him? I don't know.
Six Dread dude.
Six Dread dude.
Braveheart.
Braveheart. grabs Lawnmower Man's sword and hits it, and then the woman grabs it, and then it blows up.
The
Lawnmower Man's like, "Yo,
wow,
I'm already powerful enough to do this myself. I don't need you." And he goes into the beam and starts doing it, and then he starts choking the creator, and he's like, "You use that all you got?" He's like, "All right, fine." He's Palpatine going, "Do it, do it." And then,
well, basically, all the audience needs to know is that the hero gaslights the Lawnmower Man Job into killing himself.
Yeah,
basically,
because Egypt takes control because he thought he can work around Egypt, and Egypt's like, "No, you're not." And then just destroys Lawnmower Man in the virtual reality, and then he gets put out in the real world. And what happens because of that is that Job was reverting back to his normal self.
He became dumb again somehow.
They called him a simpleton. I was like, "Whoa!
Yeah.
This movie's from the '90s." Let's just
bring out the hard ass here.
Yeah,
simpleton.
Yeah, you know, it's not. You can't.
By the way,
oh, what, Raekwon?
That's the greatest way. That's the greatest way I've heard a sword fight described. Is this guy hits his sword with his sword?
Shwing, shwing.
Well, that's from the instruction manual. When you get the budget swords from the dollar store, it says how to sword fight. Swing. It's actually just a picture of Wayne and Garth going swing,
swish, swish, stab.
You know, and that's it.
And I love how the ending of the movie happened. It was just all of them on the balcony of that building watching a sunset.
Yeah. Never mind the fact that they literally broke into a government facility. People have died and been shot.
Yes.
You know,
huge PR disaster.
A huge PR disaster. We didn't even talk about my favorite shot in this movie, which is there's a, obviously, because it's the 90s, there's a guy, there's a suit that's behind all of this, right? We don't need to talk about his character because he's very unremarkable. We need to talk about one moment where he's talking to the heroes and making fun of them and eating out of a bucket of chicken. Because that happened in this movie, and I wrote, quote, that is big Trump energy.
The chicken dude.
Yeah.
Chicken dude got shot because Lawnmower Man seeked his men out.
Him.
And he's like, boom, dead. Okay,
but,
cool.
You know, that's at the end of the day. I mean, Mike, you finish your thought, but like, let's, you know.
Oh, no, I was probably going to do the exact same thing you're about to do. Oh,
okay, well, at the end of the day, that's Lawnmower Man 2. This movie was just fucking awful. I actually, everyone can run down their thoughts, whether or not you think someone would ever get anything out of watching this. But for me, it was a hard pass. If I want weirdly Max Headroomy dystopian movies, I'd rather watch like the Super Mario Brothers movie again or something.
There you go.
That's just me.
What about you, Jackson?
I guess like, I mean, I feel like I would rather, if I were to approach this movie again, I'd rather watch the first one just so I have some context for everything, because I just, being thrown into this with no context was intimidating, to put it mildly.
If it helps, there wasn't any context to begin with.
There you go.
The first 5 minutes of this movie decidedly said, yeah, fuck the other movie. It pulled a Rise of the Skywalker when Rise of the Skywalker said, fuck The Last Jedi.
Oh my god.
So yeah, it's basically that. Raekwon, what about you, buddy?
Well, I listened to the episode that you guys did on the first one, so I had a little bit of context, but it didn't mean anything going into the movie.
Ouch.
Like, I was really confused. I'm upset that I paid $5 for it because I had to pay for it twice.
Oh, but, no.
I wouldn't recommend anyone watch this movie, though. I want to see the first one, though, because you guys said it's more entertaining. So I don't
know. The first one's watchable.
I don't know. I don't see myself paying for it, but it is. Okay,
yeah, yeah,
James Bond is in it, so, you know.
James Bond is in it. It inspired a really good late episode of Community. You could do worse.
Jesus wept.
Yeah.
So, now like, me.
Yeah.
For me, I saw Lawnmower Man 1 when I was a Boy Scout camp, but as an adult, because it's a rite of passage to watch this movie in the rest area for the adults. So I was like, cool. I watched it once.
What a depressing rite of passage, but continue.
And then I had to watch it a second time with you. I was like, great, I had to watch this movie twice. And then watching this movie now, honestly, Lawnmower Man 1 is so much more interesting. Lawnmower Man 2 was so boring. I could easily get distracted from this movie. Mm-hmm. And if you guys are going to pay, if you the listeners are going to pay to watch any Lawnmower Man, watch the first one. The second one, I wouldn't put any money into it. Okay. Yeah. I can't believe I had no choice to put money into this.
The only time I'd recommend Lawnmower Man 2 is if you see a copy of it on VHS being thrown into a dumpster.
If you really want to see it and you think our word isn't good enough,
I mean, go
we
ahead.
Warned you. Okay. Yeah. This is your warning.
Not great, but like, you know. Anyway, that's Lawnmower Man 2. We do hope you guys enjoyed it. I mentioned it earlier. Next week, Raekwon, Mike, you and I are doing the pilot for the American version of Max Headroom.
Yes.
It's going to be awesome. So it's the same director and the same lead actor, but...
expect the same garbage.
No, the Max Headroom show is watchable. Like, it's watchable at least.
Fine.
But yeah, that's that. If you guys enjoyed the episode, feel free to share it with a buddy or something. And if you have a recommendation for an episode, send it to us on Twitter or Instagram at The Media Obscura and all that good stuff. And with that said, that's the end of the episode. You can go be quarantined or locked down wherever, you know, whatever. Yeah. And bye.
Love you.
Bye.